As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Tuesday. We've got all your Monday night NBA action covered. I'm Dave DeFore. I'm joined as I am every week, Tuesday mornings, by my man, Trevon Edwards. What's up, Trey?
What's up, Dave?
Late at night over there, huh? The East Coast, yeah. How's it treating you?
Oh, it's great, man. A lot of snow, you know.
Uh-huh.
We're making the best, man.
Just wait for that polar vortex. We got Brian Smith in the Bay Area on the ones and twos. Guys, go to theathletic.com/dailyding. It's $3.99 a month right now. You already know the drill. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about guys getting buckets. But first, Trey, the Bucks beat the Nuggets 125-112 in Denver. I really thought that the Nuggets were going to have a shot to win. Drew Holiday out for health and safety protocols. Clearly, the Bucks a little bit shorthanded. They lost so much depth coming into the season anyway. How did you feel about the Bucks tonight, even being shorthanded? What did you think?
Chris Middleton. Put some more respect on Chris Middleton. He needs more national love. Will be an all-star this year. The Bucks, this is a great win for them. They needed it. It is overall a good win. Like, again, you had without Holiday, and you would think that this is a no-brainer for Denver. They slipped up.
To be fair to Denver, they are dealing with some injury issues. There's no Gary Harris, no PJ Dozier, no Facu Campazzo. They've now lost three in a row. The Bucks have now won five in a row. I mean, it's kind of two teams trending in opposite directions. I do think that the Nuggets, you know, when they get healthy, they're going to be better. When they don't have their main starting lineup, they just haven't been very good overall. Tonight, obviously, no Gary Harris. You mentioned Chris Middleton. He was a game-high plus 17 in this game. Individual plus minus doesn't always tell the story, but in this instance, I think it does. 29 points, 11 of 11 from the free throw line. He got fouled on a couple of threes and went 6 for 6 on those. And so, you know, just everything kind of rolling for him. Didn't hit a three tonight, but his decision-making and the smoothness of that jump shot makes him such a threat that the mid-range was just wide open for him tonight, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, hey, when you can get those type of looks, sky's the limit. And I think once, you know, he's an elite company of mid-range shooters that can, you know, might as well get that off the net as soon as it leaves his hands.
Yeah, he also had 12 assists. Giannis had 39 points, no assists, which is an interesting wrinkle there from Giannis. How'd you feel about Giannis tonight?
I thought Giannis did good. I mean, he gets, like, again, former MVP, back-to-back MVP, by the way, you know what I'm saying, can still contribute. Obviously, it's getting overshadowed by the return of Kevin Durant and you know, guys like Paul George. And you can go down the line that are just playing extremely well. So they're still working over there. You know, the black cloud is his free throws this season. And I think he's going to continue to, you know, work every day, put his head down, and try to get his team to the, you know, the postseason and do what's best possible over there.
On the other side for the Nuggets, Nikola Jokic continues to just have this impressive season, and even in a loss, 35 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. You know, we talked about him a little bit on Buds the other day in regards to the MVP conversation. But they've got to win games. And I'm not saying that this loss matters all that much in the grand scheme of things. There's, you know, this is only game 23 for them. They still have a long way to go. So the door isn't shut yet. But it does feel like, from a narrative perspective, the MVP is wrapped up typically somewhere between game 25 and game 40. And, you know, I start to worry when I'm, you know, not, I don't really care about awards all that much, but when we're discussing them, I start thinking about how late it gets in these sorts of races. I mean, whether it's the playoffs or MVP. And it just feels like the Nuggets aren't doing enough to help Jokic along here, meaning winning games. You know, Jamal Murray tonight had 11 points, 1 of 7 from three. You know, another one of these games from Jamal Murray that isn't superstar Jamal Murray. And it's probably just, it's at this point, it's probably just too many of those when they're shorthanded. And I, again, if they ever get healthy, I think this team is probably going to be more like the team that looked pretty good already at one point this season when they rolled off like 7 of 10 or whatever it was. What did you think about Jamal? Did you feel like the Bucks bothered him defensively, or is it just an off night?
A little bit of both. I mean, I think the Bucks are a damn good team, and they make adjustments. And, you know, in that certain situation, they did what they were supposed to do, especially, you know, kind of handling that load without holiday plans. So you got to kind of make those adjustments, and they did a real good job. But also, you got to give credit to, like, to an extent, that Jamal Murray is that good, and, you know, he can get hot and get it going, and he just wasn't able to get it going. But, I mean, it's not the end of the world. I wouldn't hit the full panic button. Like you said, and you mentioned that, you know, you got guys that are banged up, and, you know, if they can get a team that's fully healthy and can get it clicking, I think they'll be all right.
And they shot the ball pretty well tonight. I mean, you know, they were up around 42% from three, just not able to get stops. You give up 125 points, and it's tough to win.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Any night, I mean, unless you're the, you know, Brooklyn Nets and Phil, you know, you got three Arsenal, three Kings, three-headed monster to go ahead and, you know, try to outscore a team. But for these other teams, they don't have that much luxury.
So where do we go from here? I mean, if you're the Nuggets, you can't be comfortable with the way your team is defending, but you're not healthy. So you have this conundrum. Are we this team that is a middling team, or are we a top four seed in the West? Now, I personally think that this is a top four seed in the West when they get healthy. But, you know, we've got, what, a month and a half or so until the trade deadline? It seems to me like they need another guard. They just don't have the guard depth that they've had. Losing Torrey Craig, who, you know, was in this game tonight playing for the Bucks. Losing Torrey Craig really hurt. Losing Jeremy Grant really hurt. Not that he's a guard, more of a wing, but they don't have anyone in that role. Michael Porter Jr. didn't get it done tonight. You think that he's going to show some more consistency, and he's going to be a guy that they can trust in that role?
I mean, I think he needs to just grow up fast. You know what I mean? He can't go cold. Tonight he was, you know, not as effective. But again, I still believe in the MPJ. I'm still buying that stock. You know, those are the nights that the team is, you know, really, really relying on him. You know, these are the nights that Jeremy Grant would have been playing in to close out or making big shots or, you know, just doing both ends. And those guys now that's in those positions need to step up to make sure that this team is successful, because it's a heavy load. Again, Jokic played a lot of games. Murray's played a lot of games in his short career so far. And you just got to be mindful. You don't want to run those. You don't want to run your guys down into the ground.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a rough loss for the Nuggets, especially since they came into this game. Drew Holiday's out. You have to feel good about your chances playing at home. The Bucks haven't actually done very well at Denver in the last few years. So, you know, tough loss for the Nuggets, but a lot more of the season to go. So we've got a new segment that we're going to try this week. It's called Getting Buckets.
Getting Buckets!
Trey, who's been getting buckets this week?
Man, so I got to go to the Bay Area. Steph Curry. Steph Curry is shooting like a madman, but he needs help. Can't do it all by himself. He is the new car that we love, but the check engine light is coming on. Can you hit me with some of those stats, Dave?
Well, they got no gasoline. I mean, that's part of the problem.
There you go.
38.8 points per game and 52% from three for Steph Curry. since last week. We obviously saw what happened tonight, and we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, Steph Curry is the human torch on a basketball court. And this past week, he's just been electric. He had a 57-point game, Trey. I think he got some buckets.
Got a lot of buckets at that point.
Joel Embiid, 34.7 points per game in the last week. Nikola Jokic, 32.7. De'Aaron Fox, we got to talk about De'Aaron Fox. I know we got to stop and talk about De'Aaron Fox. 28.7 points per game for De'Aaron Fox. Not really a guy that comes to mind when you think about scoring, but it does seem to me like in this last week in particular, he put a major point of emphasis on it.
De'Aaron Fox, sorry, Kings fans, it took so long to get mentioned on the ding, but De'Aaron Fox is balling out of his mind, definitely putting up all-star numbers, respectable. They're doing something good over there in SAC, and they just got to continue to keep hooping. But, you know, again, this guy doesn't care about the All-Star game, but he might be making a trip down that way to Atlanta.
Nikola Jokic had 32.7 points per game. We mentioned him. You know, he had a big 50-point game the other night. And then the last guy that we wanted to talk about here, I know that the Bulls are a little bit of a sore subject for you as a Bulls fan, but we got to talk about Zach LaVine. I mean, 31 points per game in the last week. He missed a layup against the Wizards. Would have tied the game tonight. Kind of a tough blown layup for him. Look, is Zach LaVine going to stay on the Bulls? I know that Trey Kirby is going to get mad at me again for trying to trade Zach LaVine, but it just feels like Zach LaVine is a guy who could really be helping a team trying to get to the finals, or at least trying to get to the conference finals instead of a team that's, you know, scuffling, hoping to make the play-in.
Keep Zach in Chicago.com. Zach is playing an all-star, amazing basketball. I'm on the Zach stock. Bye. He is playing like a madman. Definitely young team. Loves it in Chicago. Keep him in Chicago. Not frustrated. Still going through some growing pains with his team. But he is hooping. And if he doesn't make All-Star and he's not headed to Atlanta, then we need to definitely cancel the game.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, let's run through the rest of the games for tonight. And I want to start with the ending of San Antonio and Golden State. DeJounte Murray hits one of the nastiest threes I've ever seen him take. I mean, this was just a beautiful shot. I was confused as to how he even got it off. And it sets up, you know, I texted you. I was like, all right, we got end of the game, Steph Curry. Turn the game on if you're not already on this game, and you already were. And, you know, so Golden State is trying to inbound the ball, and they're down three. Steph Curry is just blanketed by defenders. Draymond Green receives the pass. Look, I think that the Golden State announced team kind of caught the moment perfectly.
Damian Lee to inbound. Still looking for Steph. Now Draymond's got it.
What did he do that for?
Draymond shot a three with 5 seconds left.
Why? You got time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was one of the things overall. I mean, with Murray knocking down that shot and just making it crazy, it has to be frustrating, you know, with Steph. I can see a couple of reactions after, you know, on miscommunication and dropping a game like this, because they're clawing and fighting every night to stay in the mix. And as a competitor, you know, Steph's not thinking about the growing pains or on the outside looking in. He wants to be playing basketball after the game 72. And those situations, you know, they end up dropping the game because of an interesting shot. You know what I mean?
Listen, I understand what Draymond was thinking. They're up three. I'm going to receive the pass. They're going to foul. I'm a bad free throw shooter. I just had some atrocious free throws right before this. I'm going to fool these guys, and I'm going to get three free throws for my trouble. And he just got a little too greedy on it, I think.
You're giving him too much credit on that, man.
Well, he's a smart player. I mean, I have no doubt.
No, that's the thing. I like to think that he's smart, but I'm not going to give him a pass on this one tonight.
It looked hilarious.
That was bad because, again, if you see that they're not trying to foul, then you need to find a situation to set up and find a better look. And if they intentional foul, cool, try to go from there. But that heave and the lean in, the refs, first of all, is never going to call that because that's not a shot that he takes. And he couldn't oversell it. But it was just bad. It reminded me of the Will Smith Carlton shot. It just heaved, and you know, it was all that time, and you just gotta, you know, not to be a sore loser or anything and just walk off the court. But that just, again, Draymond can, you know, channel out and say that the casual fan wouldn't understand. Like I said, your heart was in the right place, but you're not the player to be making that play. Is he capable of doing it?
No, he's not.
No.
He's not. Let's just say
he's not gonna do that. Like again, he's never got that call, so they're never gonna give him the call. Steph Curry barely gets calls when he goes to the basket. So you think that they're gonna give you a leaning three, head hunting a foul? No, not at all. So I mean, it's just bad. And I mean, long as he owns up to it and says it's bad and gets back to it, which he's capable of doing, so be it.
Charlotte beat the Rockets 119-94. This was the game that you and I had circled. We were like, oh, this might be a really fun game. Eric Gordon was out for rest. John Wall missing games because, you know, they've got comeback from Achilles. So they're treating him with kids gloves, which is very smart. And Christian Wood still out with that ankle sprain. And man, the Rockets really needed all of those guys because LaMelo Ball, Trey, I don't know if you know this, LaMelo Ball is really good.
Oh, he's so fun to watch, man.
Bro, he was plus 29 in this game.
Light chocolate.
7 of 12 from 3, 24 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. LaMelo Ball is a basketball genius, and I love that it's already on full display. The whole team, I mean, his energy is infectious, and that whole team has got the ball moving. Miles Bridges, I don't know if I've ever seen a guy smiling every single time he jumps up for a lob. I don't know if you noticed that. But it's pretty incredible what's happening with that team. And I'm going to give all the credit to LaMelo. I know they got a good coach, but we're going to say that's the LaMelo bump.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, it's a joy when you're still able to channel what you felt in your adolescence or high school basketball or AAU. And that's what LaMelo's doing. Like he's playing with so much joy, and that's what makes the game easy for him. And he's going to get a chance probably to be the rookie of the year at this point, at this pace. But, you know, hopefully nothing comes in his way. And the connection that he has with his teammates, he's not clashing or trying to steal a show. They're all sharing a ball. Like, he's being able – he has a connection with Bismack Biyombo that's very loving. And again, he's just shooting the ball well. So I really hope that he can continue to keep this up. Again, you know, this is a make-or-miss league, and you get hot and teams make adjustments. But – it doesn't seem to be a problem for him because he likes to pass and share the ball, and he's from the school of LeBron and Ben Simmons and those big guards that rebound also. So, you know, he's learned his style of play of playing 21, and he's treating the NBA like it's a game of 21.
Well, and a lot of people are finding out about LaMelo and their preconceived notions about who he is as a person and who he is as a player. Because of who his dad is and how much we know about his dad. I'll tell you this. LaVar Ball is a lot of things. But he has taught his kids how to play basketball in a way that is fun as hell to watch and seems like it's fun to play with. So, did okay in my book. The Wizards beat the Bulls, as I mentioned before. Zach LaVine had a shot right at the end of the game, missed the layup. I mean, it was a tough layup. It was a great drive. It was a good attempt at a finish. A little bit of contact on the body, but no foul there. Bradley Beal just continues to just tear up the world. 35 points, 15 free throws in this game. Not to be outdone, Zach LaVine did finish the game with 35 points. Again, he's been getting buckets. That's why we brought him up. 35 points for Zach LaVine in the loss. The Raptors beat the Grizzlies. I mean, this game was really, really close until late, and it was just too much for the Raptors. You know, the Raptors just kind of took over. Obviously, Memphis dealing with some injury issues. No Brandon Clark, no DeAnthony Melton. They really missed Melton a lot tonight. Desmond Bane had 13 points in his first starting lineup spot. I don't know, man. It had some rookie mistakes, but overall, not a bad game from Desmond Bane. I mean, 13 points, 3 of 7. It's fine, but the Grizzlies are better than what they showed tonight. For the Raptors, Fred VanVleet, 32 points, took over late in this game. And it's nice to see Pascal Siakam hitting jumpers again, Trey.
Oh, yeah. Make it spicy. Turn it up.
That jump shot was on a milk carton for a little while there. So hopefully it's safe and sound now. The Mavericks beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 127-122. Man, they had like a 20-point lead at halftime. And this game, I mean, I thought it was going to make me do extra work. Let's just be, I'll be honest here. I thought I was going to have to get up and watch this game and figure out how this lead collapsed. But I realize it's just the Mavericks kind of doing what the Mavericks do. The Minnesota Timberwolves were 18 of 42 from three in this game. That's pretty good. That's going to win you a lot of games. I think the Mavs have to feel a little bit lucky to have been able to hang on and win this game.
Yeah, I mean, with KP playing, you know, like that's rare. He's gotten slander all year. And, you know, obviously, you know, Knicks won the trade and, you know, all those other things. You got to understand he's coming back from injury, and he's been injury riddled since his rookie year. So, you know, you come back to playing well, it has to be a good feeling. And his English is better. I like that in the post game where he's able to, you know, say what he needed to say. And also, you know, if he not saying that the Mavs can turn this all around, but it's a good sign to see that guy, you know, back on the happy end of sides.
I got a question for you, Trey. Before we get to the next game, would you say Devin Booker is having a bad season?
I would not say that he's having a bad season. I think he's just low usage because you have a ball-dominant point guard and he doesn't have the ball and not the primary focus. He is being used in a team focus, but is still quietly scoring, just not at a career level.
Yeah, I still think he's having a good season. It's just a different season because he doesn't have to do as much because his team is better. Well, in this game, he had 36 points. He was 5 of 9 from 3, 8 assists. This is the Devin Booker that we were getting all of last year. I think they need more of this Booker, if I'm being honest. I mean, they did beat the Cavs 119-113, and I know the Cavs are a juggernaut, right? So this is a huge win. But I think they need more of this Devin Booker. And I'm not saying that he's even been passive, but I think that they need him to be this aggressive every single night, not just on the nights that Chris Paul isn't out there. He's their best player.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a no-brainer.
The last game of the night, and this is a theme on this show, Trey. As you know, Andrew Schlecht hosts Down to Dunk, our Oklahoma City Thunder podcast over at The Athletic. Look, man, the Thunder are too frisky. They're too good to tank. Now, they took the Lakers to overtime. The Lakers didn't have Anthony Davis. 119-112, they lose this in overtime. Oklahoma City has a bunch of dogs on their team.
Yeah, I mean,
it's pretty impressive.
They, like I said, this team is young. You know, no one likes to actual lose unless you got the tank agenda. But you know, at this point, they're competing, man. And they're, you know, they ideally with that, you know, you think about it and what they gave up and who they have left on that roster, they shouldn't have the same record as the New Orleans Pelicans. But here we are, you know, too good to tank, as Saramadi would say.
Oh, yeah, and LeBron James, 28-14-12, put up his 500th career triple-double in the win. Pretty good. That guy's okay. I think he's going to wind up having a pretty nice career.
For sure, for sure. He is averaging more than, I think, 8 or 9 players, according to StatMuse, that are 20 years old. It's crazy.
Grow up, kids. Man's League. That's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget about all the other basketball shows that we have across the Athletic entire podcast universe. It's no longer a network. It's now grown into a universe. The Athletic NBA show, you know, No Dunks. Shout out to those guys. You know, the Athletic NFL show, we have everything. Go to theathletic.com/dailyding. Go sign up. It's $3.99 a month. Just do it if you haven't already. Thank you guys, as always, for waking up with us. It is our pleasure. Trey, take us away.
Ding, ding.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.